I'm going to introduce the new series today. It's called Favor, and it's interesting because just because of the way it is, the nature of this whole series. And every time we do a series, one of the things I talk about is we always want to do a verse, because I believe scripture memorization and scripture stuff is just so important to us to know the scripture and be fed by it. And to know it when trials and stuff come in or something comes in that we can all of a sudden like uploads in our brain a verse. And the verse I want to use with the series is, you can put up on the screen, it's Proverbs 8:35. Super short, so we have a few weeks to memorize this. And it says, I'll read it out loud and then I want us to read it out together. So I'll do the first one. For those who find me, find life and receive favor from the Lord. Pretty easy, right? So let's say this together. One, two, three. For those. And I want us to understand this. As I talk about favor today, it's not because of what you've done. It's not because of who you are as far as like what you've done or a status. It's because of who he is. And we don't, listen, we talk about favor. And a lot of people, I'm just going to throw this out there because I don't want to say this every Sunday this way. But some people talk about favor like, oh, I'm just blessed and God's given me abundance of stuff. And as we're going to share today, sometimes, most of the time, what I realize, favor is not that everything good happens for you. Favor is that the fact that you might be going through trials and tribulations, but God's favor rests upon you. Does that make any sense? And so we're going to dive into this more. But I just want to share this before we start. If you've ever done anything like eating food with me, here's what you're going to realize. I have a lot of favorite things. Anybody else this way? When you go to a restaurant and you're like, this is my favorite thing. This is my favorite. This is my favorite dessert of all time. I have like 20 favorite desserts, just so you know. And then when I have a favorite, I like to share it. My wife always makes fun of me. She's like, of course, just eat it. He wants you to eat it because he wants you to know how good it is. You guys experience the donuts from Apple Orchard, right? And you know, because that's one of my favorite. It really is. I'm not saying that. It's one of my favorite donuts because I want you guys to experience what I enjoy. The word favorite actually comes from favor. Isn't that cool to know this? And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, what we face, not just in this church, but as a nation, is identity crisis. We just don't know who we are. Lord, there's so many people, even us included, just saying, who am I? What am I called to do? This whole issue of favor for the next few weeks is going to help us determine who we are. Because like this verse says, Lord, when I find you, I find life. And when I find you, I receive favor. Lord, it is part of who we are. It is part of, but Lord, so many people are not walking in favor because they don't know who they are. And I pray today, Lord, help us to walk out who we are, which you've called us to be. Lord, we get so caught up in what you called us to do that we miss who we're called to be. And Lord, help us be defined not by what the world says or what people have said about us, but be defined by what you say about us. I pray that we are defined by you in your love and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat. We're super excited, so we're going to jump into this. But I have a lot of favorite things. It's like Oprah, my wife. When Oprah was on TV, she had these favorite things, like Oprah's favorite things. And then all of a sudden, she would just give these things away. I would love that. I'm like, here's some of our favorite things because we like to share what our favorites are. But God, listen to this, God has favorites also. And I'm telling you, his favorite is you. Think about that. His favorite is us. My title of my sermon today is this, I'm his favorite. I am, just so you know. I'm his favorite. So favor is mentioned in the Bible 70 times. 70 times over and over again, the word favor is mentioned. All the way from the beginning of Genesis to the end, the word favor is mentioned. Even with Moses, God had favor with Joshua, with Ruth, and with Esther, and with Joshua. Like I said, but with Joseph, we're going to talk about Joseph in the next few weeks here. With Mary, mother of Jesus, was highly favored. And it goes through scripture talking about God's favor upon people. He even says, I have favor upon you. And so everyone greatly used by God experienced some sort of favor. But in order to know what favor is, I think we got to know this. What is grace? Because when you look at the definition of grace, here's what the definition of grace is. Unmerited favor of God. Unmerited. Now, my wife and I talked about this saying, that's funny because it says unmerited. And she goes, what does merited mean? And I said, oh, it's like a Boy Scout. You get a merit badge. You know, but when you look up the dictionary, it actually means merited is something to do with worthy. It means that it's you're worthy or you're approved, and you know what I'm saying? But there's that worthy hanging over it of this favor. And so literally, think about this. What grace means is not unworthy of favor. Like, we are undeserving of favor. But because, listen to this, because of the grace of the Lord, he abounds favor on us. Not because of what I've done, but because of who he is. He gives favor to his children because of grace. Grace and favor are actually similar words in Greek and Hebrew. They kind of coincide. Because of that, it goes, so we from the word favor, we use that a lot. For instance, we say, do me a favor. The odds are in your favor. And we think about these things, which means gaining approval, or people might say, you have the favor of the crowd, which means you have that. You have that approval. You have that kindness. So what favor is not? Favor is not that your life is eliminated by hardships. It's interesting because I'm not saying all preachers are bad, but over the years, I remember as a kid listening to people on TV sometimes talk about, if you do this, you will receive the favor of the Lord. And can I just be honest with you? We got to play that very careful, because what they're saying is, if you do something, you will get God's favor. And I'm telling you, what I think is, if the more we become and realize something, that's where the favor is, because he's already given us favor. You guys realizing this? There is a favor that comes in knowing that we are his kids, that we are his chosen. For instance, favor is not earned. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write that. Favor is not earned. It's not something that you can do. It is something that grace cannot be earned either. If you think that your grace can be earned, we're in trouble. It's because grace is not earned. Grace is, you know, I'm saying, accepted. Grace has already been given to us. Favor is given. Like I said before, there is a phrase that's been used twice in the New Testament. One with Mary, when the angel came and God came to Mary, he actually said the phrase, highly favored. He actually said to Mary, mother of Jesus, he said, you are highly favored. That same word in Greek is used one other time in Scripture, which is in the New Testament, which is actually used, those two words together, is actually used, Ephesians 1:6, is actually used as accepted or beloved. In the Holman Bible, it says this. I love this. It says, to praise of his glorious grace that he favored on us within the beloved. He is literally calling his church, catch us, highly beloved, highly favored. The same Greek word that he used on Mary is the same word that he's using on his church. He's saying that you are highly favored, that the people, my church is highly favored. The same thing, it's highly favored. Psalm 5:12 says this, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and you will surround him as with a shield. And I just want to talk, each week I'm going to talk about a different story in Scripture about favor. And this week I want to talk about a group of guys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys remember the story in kids' church? I love this story because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Hebrew guys, and with them was a guy named Daniel. And they weren't citizens of Babylon. They didn't have citizenship there. They were a different religion. They were a Hebrew. They served God, Yahweh. But they were forced to go to Babylon. So here they were, no longer citizenship in this era, but they were becoming people. Someone just want to read this. About 600 years before Jesus Christ was born, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon besieged Jerusalem and took captive many of Israel's finest citizens. So these guys are taken captive. what was now Jerusalem has become this Babylonian empire. Among those deported to Babylon were young men of the tribe of Judah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These four Hebrews excelled in wisdom and knowledge, listen, and found favor in King Nebuchadnezzar's eyes. The king put them into service among his most trusted wise men and counselors. So these guys rose in ranks. They were not citizens of Babylon. They were not of the same family, but because of their counsel and wise, they rose in ranks because of favor. When Daniel proved to be the only man capable of interpreting one of the king's dreams, the king placed him in a high position over the whole province of Babylon, including all the wise men of the land. Here is the three Hebrew guys and Daniel, the prophet, and all of a sudden he can interpret a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he got rose up in position because of favor. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as administrators under Daniel. He says, Daniel says, listen, I sit in this position, I want people I trust, and they're wise. So if I'm in this position and I got favor, these other guys have favor, let's rise them up. So these guys rose in ranks again. King Nebuchadnezzar then built a huge golden image and commanded all the people to fall down and worship it whenever they heard the sound of a musical instrument. The penalty was for disobeying this was to be thrown into a fiery pit. Think about this. The king sent a decree saying when you hear, whatever it's bells or whatever it is, if you hear that, if you don't bow to an idol, he made an idol of himself. If you don't bow to me, which is saying that don't serve any of your other gods, he says, if you don't bow to this, well then, here's grace. We're just going to throw you in a fiery pit. This is like, so you think, this is a pretty cruddy place. So here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel working for this cruddy empire, and they're trying to serve, and they're rising in ranks, and they don't even agree with where it's going. And all of a sudden, they hear this decree, and when they hear the bell or hear the dawn, whatever it was, everybody starts to bow except for these high officials, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Nobody, they don't bow. And so all of a sudden, it gets word, the king gets word of it, and he says, even though they're my officials, let's get the fire hot and let's throw them in there. And this is what begins to happen. This is what's interesting as we continue here. But this is the verse I want to say. Daniel 3, 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, I love this. If you're taking notes, this is awesome. Because I think what happens is we think, oh, I got favor. It's all going to work out perfectly. And here's what their attitude is. We believe God can deliver us. We believe God can save us. But if he decides not to, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship you, the image of gold that you have set up. Isn't that awesome? He says, throw us in the furnace. Because I'm telling you, it's like saying, we at this household, this is what we're going to do. They made a decree saying, if our God can come through, if he doesn't come through, so be it. We're still going to trust the Lord no matter what. Then they threw him in the furnace, and you guys all know they weren't burned, and there was a fourth person in the furnace. I'm going to come back to this at the very end. But what's crazy about this, here's what I want you to get with favor. These three Hebrews had favor in Babylon. This is a bad, corrupt place. They're throwing people in the furnace. This is not the first people they threw in the furnace. They're throwing people in the furnace who are not obeying. Like, think about this. It's like when I, at the very end, say, if you want to accept Jesus Christ in your heart, and someone goes, well, not for me, get the fire pumping. Think about this. This is what's literally going on, saying, making a decision right now. If you don't do what we tell you to do, and then this is going to happen. They didn't. Now, this is what I want you to catch. They didn't just survive. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel just didn't survive in Babylon. They thrived in Babylon. When you're in a situation that you're saying, this stinks, listen, we all need a mentality of that favor of just saying, listen, I might be in a cruddy situation, and I'm not going to just barely get through it. I'm going to do my best with what God has for me to get into this. You might be, tomorrow, you might be going, I don't want to go to work. I don't like my work. I don't like the people. Can I tell you this? If you're called to be there, you're not just called to survive work. You're called to thrive where you work. You're called to let things flourish and to grow. And here's the other thing I want to tell you with this. They thrived where they're at because favor, listen, favor is not dependent on where you are, but who you are. Yes, mark that down. Favor is not dependent on just where you are, your location, because they were in Babylon going, what's going to happen here? It's determined, favor is determined by who you are, because they know who they are, and they said, I'm favored. Listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? This is their mentality, saying, if God's on our side, who can be against us? We can have all these Babylonian people, we can have the darkness against us, but if we have one candle. About 3 years ago, I did a series called Shine during Christmas, and I talked about just a little bit of light. And what I did on a Sunday morning, I talked about a candle, and I said, you can have all the darkness in the world, and as long as you have one candle, you win, because light always wins. So what I did was we shut all the lights off in this whole room and lit one candle, and we can actually see a little bit. Isn't that crazy? Because it is in that thriving of that life, not just surviving, that we move forward. So I'm just going to tell you this. Here's what's funny. You are favored. One of my favorite people in Scripture is John. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The last person to write, or the author, was John. So, of course, you want to know who wrote John? John. The disciple John. So here's a pretty interesting, right? So John wrote a book about himself, about his stories of Jesus and what happened, which is his firsthand knowledge of Jesus. Here's my favorite part about John. When you read John, only in John do you find this. Five times in the recorded scripture of John do you hear himself call himself the beloved. Pretty much saying, I'm Jesus' favorite. Check this out. I'm going to read this to you. Here's what it reads in John. John 13:23 says, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved was reclining at the table close to Jesus. John 19:26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, listen, he's not even putting his name in there. All he's writing is who Jesus loved. Think about this. John 22 says this, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. John 21:7 says, the disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter. John 21:20 says, Peter turned to Saul and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. Here, it's literally like me writing a book, writing an autobiography about my parents and saying, I'm going to write a book about you guys. And every time I refer to myself, it's not Jarvis the youngest, it's Jarvis your favorite. I'm not going to put my name in. It says, your favorite son, your favorite kid. And this is what he's doing. He's literally using it as a nickname, saying, the one whom Jesus loved. This is who I am. He said, this is the one. What I'm going to tell you, when I had surgery, my ear surgery, I went in a few times for ear surgery. My wife can tell you this. One of my favorite parts of surgery, there's a few of them. If you ever had surgery, here's some helpful tips. I'm going to give you three of them right now. One is they give you this koala warmer thing. You know what I'm saying? That just warms your body up. Yeah, suck that up because that's amazing. Number one. Number two is if they knock you out in surgery, see how fast you can count from 10 down to 0. I've only got to like 8 and I don't remember a thing. You just get knocked out. And number three is this. Here's my helpful tip. When they ask you, so they come in the room and this is as you're getting ready. They have a little whiteboard and they ask you, all right, what's your wife's name? Contact information. What are you allergic to? And then they get to this question. This is my favorite. What's your name and what do you like to go by? What? So the nurse, my wife was in there. I said, what? I said, well, do you have a nickname? You want the doctors to call you something? And I said, yes, Captain. Remember this? So So before surgery, nurses were like looking and go, "Hi, Captain." I said, "Hey." My favorite is when my doctor, actually my surgeon, came in. He knew me, and he's like, "Hey, Captain," and I said, "Hey." The next surgery was like 2 weeks later, and I said the same thing, but I said, she was like, what name do you want to go by?" I said, "Stud." So literally, they're like, "Hey, Stud." I'm like, "Hey." It was uplifting for me. You know what I'm saying? It was, to have a surgeon call you Captain and Stud is pretty awesome. So that's my tip. It's interesting, even when I was a little kid, my mom and dad can tell you this, I would literally, if someone had a birthday and with a birthday card on it, they said, "Sign your name." I would always sign Jarvis, and in parentheses, I would say, "Cool dude." All the time. I'm like, "Cool dude." And this, literally, you can look at any birthday card, anything I've ever signed from the ages of like 4 to like 13, it was always "Cool dude." I was declaring it in case nobody knew it, I wanted everybody to know about it. I was just declaring out loud that this is who I am. It's interesting because I don't think John was literally what he's doing. And this might sound like the one Jesus loved. I don't think he was doing it to brag about himself. I think he was doing it, number one, because he knew who he was in Jesus Christ. And number two, he was bragging about the Lord. I think he understood where he stood at with the Lord. I think he understood, "I'm loved." I think what it did is it gave him strength. He understand the favor that comes. And I think he literally said, "Dude, I'm his favorite." Like, there's something that goes with us when we feel that favor. I had a friend, and I shouldn't say a friend, there's a pastor friend of mine in Colorado. I think I shared this before, but he was speaking at a conference Jay and I were with. And he's a just awesome, lovable guy. And here's what he said. He has a big church. And one of the things he says, I don't know if it was a question or what, but he said, "You know what I do in my church with my people?" He goes, "It's so easy to think worst-case scenarios about everybody. Like, when someone calls you up and says, 'Hey, we need to talk,' it's so easy to get in that conversation, like, 'Ooh, what do they want to talk about? Am I in trouble? Are they in trouble?' Like, we instantly jump to worst-case scenarios, or we look at somebody and think, 'They must not like me. There's something wrong with me.'" He goes, "You know what I'm tired of?" He goes, "I used to think that way all the time until I changed my mentality." He goes, "I became naive." And I said, "Well, I'm not sure if that's proud to be saying that, but..." Here's what he goes. "I just walked around saying, 'Everybody likes me.'" He goes, "I know it's not true. Not everybody liked Jesus, and he was awesome." But he says, "I'd rather be going into a conversation knowing that they like me than going thinking, 'What's the worst case scenario in this?'" It's interesting because there's something that happens when we lose hope and we lose that favor. It's interesting because even he was declaring who Jesus was. So my question is this. What if you walked around? How would your life be different? How would your daily walk with the Lord be different if you walked around going, "I'm his beloved"? Like John saying, referring to me, like, "I'm his loved." Like referring to saying, what if you walked around saying, "I'm his favorite"? Because you know what the truth is? I'm his favorite. I am. Just so you guys know, I'm his favorite. But really, here's the truth. The truth is, I'm his favorite and so are you. You may be thinking, how's that work? I'll tell you how it works. My wife made a good point the other day. She makes a good point. She should just preach. I should just sit down. But she said, don't you think all of our kids, like the goal of a parent, we want to make sure all of our kids know that they're our favorites. Like I want Sadie to know that she's my favorite. Like I want Sora to know that he's my favorite. I want Charlie to know that she's my favorite. Not that I say, "Hey, you're my favorite, don't tell the other kids." "You're my favorite, don't tell the other ones." You know what I'm saying? Don't tell the other ones. But what if we live in such a way that each one of my kids felt like, listen, they felt like they were my favorite. What if we lived in such a way that we felt like we were God's favorite? Because here's what begins to happen. This is what I believe. Either through bad theology or just somebody telling you lies, or some kind of church you raise up, whatever it is, what begins to happen is we start believing these things that are not of God. And we think the only time God wants to spend time with us is when he wants to discipline us, correct us, or rebuke us, or take something away from us. So we get scared by spending time with the Lord because we instantly think it's not that he wants to be with us or not that he loves us, it's because he wants to fix us. And I can tell you in marriage, That's the wrong approach. If you're just there to fix your spouse, that's not healthy. I've learned this after a few years of marriage. Because my wife doesn't want to be fixed. She doesn't need to be fixed. She's perfect, by the way. My wife doesn't want to be fixed. She wants to be known. And I'm telling you, even what's interesting is in our relationships, we have this mentality saying, well, God doesn't think I'm his favorite. God has these other things. I'm telling you, it's not that true. And you might be thinking, well, God, Romans 2:11 says, for God does not show favoritism. Yes, that is true. And honestly, thank God that's true. Because just because I have a pastor in my title, or just because you know more scripture than somebody else, or just because you give more in an offering than somebody else does, or just because you've served or done this, doesn't mean that God loves you more than he does a person sitting next to you. I'm telling you right now, thank God that he doesn't show favoritism. We serve a God who doesn't say that he likes you more than somebody else. He just likes you. We serve a God who thinks that we're all his favorite, that he says that you're chosen, that you're wonderfully made. And it's interesting because I said this before, but even when I was a youth pastor, I didn't have favorites. I hopefully didn't have favorites, but we were closer to people and students that we spent the most time with because who showed up, that were in our lives, that we were, and it's not because we were favorites, because we knew them. So here's the deal. I'm his favorite and you are too. You're his favorite and so am I. So what does that mean for us? Having favor and being his favorite allows you to walk in confidence. Walking in a meeting with confidence. Because I'm telling you, if you know who your daddy is, then you know who you are. It's interesting because when you're in grade school, it's always that my daddy can beat up your daddy. There's a story, I've shared this a few times, about this little girl who got off the bus. And all of a sudden, this bus in her block, her house was a few blocks away, and this little girl, tiny little girl, had her backpack on that was too big for her. And all of a sudden, she got off the bus, she went to her friends, and she started the walk home a block away. And after she got off the bus, she heard this huffing and puffing and footsteps, and she looked back, and she saw this big dog. And all of a sudden, she just saw this dog go, hoof, hoof, and just start chasing her. And at the top of her lungs, she hiked up her backpack, and she started sprinting to her house. And she kept on saying, Daddy, 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 Daddy. She just ran and ran and ran, and all of a sudden, that dog turned the corner, and she can just smell the breath of this dog getting closer and closer and closer to her. And all of a sudden, she turned the curve, and she ran into her driveway, and she yelled at her daddy, and her dad came running out of the garage. And all of a sudden, the dog was just feet away from the girl. And all of a sudden, the dad came and scooped her up. And all of a sudden, he held on this little girl who was just bawling, scared and afraid, and this dog was just sitting there barking and salivating and all stuff. And all of a sudden, the little girl was being held by her daddy, and she looked down at the dog, scared. She looked up at her daddy, and she smiled. She looked down at the dog, and she was scared. Looked at the dad, smiled, and all of a sudden, she looked at the dog, and she goes, bad dog. Because I believe this is what happens in our nature. Because sometimes we are just feel like we're running. We feel like we're running, and we feel like we're scared, and we feel like we don't know what direction we're going, and we just have to yell, daddy, daddy, daddy. Because part of knowing who you are is knowing who your father is. And when you realize when you're being chased down and all of a sudden the bite's about ready to get you, you realize it's not your favor and it's not your strength. It matters whose arms you are in. Listen, it matters who's holding you. It matters whose hands it's in you. It matters who's carrying you, because that's where your favor, it's not your favor, it's because his favor is rest upon you, because he's your daddy. It's interesting because I talk about this message, and there's many people who sit here today, when I talk about parents or mothers or fathers or some kind of parents, literally growing up, you had a tough situation. It's hard for you to grasp and understand what this means to have a father who like literally loves you, who is proud of you. And maybe you're an older sibling. Check this out. Maybe you're an older sibling, and you go, listen, I was never spoiled. I don't even know what that means to be favored, because I'm the older one. I got the brunt of everything, and the other ones were spoiled. I don't get it. But can I tell you this? Here's how Christianity works. This is how Jesus works. It, He is not defined by your circumstance. He is defined by who he is. On the cross, he gave himself to you. And God our Father let his son, because he loves you so much, he died for you. What's interesting about that is, think about this, in our own life, he is redefining what a father and a parent is in your life. He is rewriting your story that your definition of a parent is not determined on what you grew up with, but it's about who he is. God is restoring the things of your past. God is restoring these things about it. Like I said before, they didn't just survive, they thrived. And favor is not dependent upon where you are. Favor is who you are. If I can etch anything in you today, I want you to etch this. You are favored. Why? Because you're his kid. I don't know any other way to tell you. You're favored just because he's your daddy. When you're the daughter or son of the king, you are favored. You are favored. The difference between those who walk in favor and those, we're going to go these in the next few weeks, is you just don't realize it yet. It's interesting because when I look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, going back to the story, I love what they said. They said, we're gonna thrive, not just survive. And you throw us in the furnace, that's fine. We're still going to serve the Lord. It says that they were thrown in a furnace. And it says that the king and all the people were watching them. Think about that. They're going to watch somebody burn in the furnace. And they looked down, and not only were they not burned, check this out, but it says there was a fourth person in the furnace with them. There was a fourth person in the furnace. And it says, one of the guys says, who is that fourth person? And this is the Old Testament. And someone goes, surely that's the Son of God. Wow. Surely, I mean, he's declaring, how do you know? How do you know that the Son of God? Maybe because he was brighter than the other ones. Maybe because he was warmer than, I don't know what it is. And it says they begin to dance and worship in the fire. And it says and all of a sudden the officials realized that they weren't being burned. And they said, get these guys out. Let's serve their God. And all of a sudden, they opened the door, and they walked out, not smoky, not burned, and they walked out. The three of them walked out. In the favor of the Lord's presence, they walked out, survived, and thrived, and the nation started to change because of the favor that God has upon them. But can I tell you this? They were changed. I want you to hear this. They did not bow down when a push came to shove. God, why are you doing this? Why don't you have this? And can I tell you this? Most people don't trust the Lord because God doesn't work out the way they think that he should work out in their lives. Well, God, why'd you do this? God, why'd you do this? God, why'd you do this? God, why did you do this? I don't know. You might think, well, don't you know, Pastor? I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. But I will tell you this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're going to trust the Lord. If we get burnt, we get burnt. If we die, we die. But guess what? I'm still going to trust the Lord. If he can save us, but if he chooses not to, that's okay. Can I tell you this? God did not show up until they got hot. And so many of us are praying, God, release us. God, take me out of this bondage. God, take me out of this situation. I need an easy way out. God, I pray you put that fire out. I pray you do something. And all of a sudden God says, listen, can I just tell you as a church, one of the most important things you ever hear is this. Sometime the miracle is God taking you out of the fire and God saying, listen, there's no more fire. That's good. You can be released. But I'm telling you, we serve a God that says, listen, I'm not going to take you out of the fire. I'm going to go in the fire with you. Listen, I promise to be with you. He says, listen, we're going to go in this thing together. We're going to get hot together. I'm telling you, where the Lord is, that's where favor's at. And I'd always rather be where the Lord's at. Amen? Can I just tell you this? This is going to be up on the screen. You can put this up. I want you to know this in your head. I am greatly blessed, I am highly favored, and I am deeply loved by God.